Hello, gorgeous. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Jessica Harlow podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Harlow. In our last episode, we talked about the importance of mental health and how it's the reason why I make this podcast every single week. It's something that I'm very passionate about outside of beauty and skincare and hair and all that outside aesthetic stuff. I mean, I love pretty things and I love creating and enhancing beauty, but it's really not just about appearances. I really feel very strongly that everyone deserves to have a beautiful life and to feel beautiful from the inside out. I really believe that a lot of the ugliness that exists in this world is rooted deeply in people not feeling good on the inside. And everyone deals with and copes with things differently. Everybody goes through things. Everybody deals with some kind of adversity in their lives. But everybody copes differently. There are some people who will experience terrible things and seek to make the world a better, more beautiful place and to lead by a positive example. And then there's going to be other people who it's almost like a competition. They try to make it even uglier. I think that at different times in our own lives, we might find ourselves operating from either or. It just really depends on our headspace in the moment. Realistically speaking, I don't think that any one of us is 100% good or 100% bad. But as I was saying, mental health is a major priority for me, especially in today's age of everything being at our fingertips. We're somehow more connected and also more disconnected than ever before as human beings. Like everything is within reach. So many people are just like a few clicks away, but we're also disconnected. No matter how introverted we may claim to be, I really do think that we were put on this earth to connect and interact, and it has or can have significant effects on our health on all levels, mentally, physically, spiritually. Back during the holidays, I released an episode about loneliness and how to handle it, but I think that while it's something that most people tend to feel the most intensely during the holiday season, I still think that loneliness can really rear its ugly head at any point throughout the year, throughout our lives. It just depends. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, for example, the summer months were kind of lonelier for me just because, you know, all of my friends would go away, everybody would kind of separate, people would go away, go on vacations, etc. And I was also a lonely child, so it could get lonely at some points. And I think that there are times where as adults, we can just get wrapped up into other things in life and are just kind of pulled away from maybe friendships, family members, loved ones, etc. People are pulled away from us because of whatever is going on in their lives. You know, being an adult, being a human being is a really complicated thing. So I really wanted to talk about loneliness again, but talk about it a little bit differently because I came across an article from Psychology Today called The Loneliness Cure. I'll link the entire article in the show notes of the episode just in case you want to read the full, get the full thing of it. But Psychology Today is probably one of my favorite magazines. If I'm being very honest, if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now, I would probably either want to become a detective or a psychologist, which really are kind of intertwined. I mean, what bigger mystery is there than the human mind, right? Anyway, back to the article. It goes on about the importance of creating and cultivating meaningful relationships and how to do it in really simple ways, especially for those of us that, you know, I get a lot of messages from you guys talking about how you feel challenged when it comes to meeting people, connecting with people, building relationships, getting out there in the world and making some actual connections. And one tip that I have, because I mean, the thing is, I have a really, it's very interesting. I'm painfully shy, actually. A lot of whatever I do, like, requires me to push myself, really push myself to do like literally anything. To say hello is like a struggle for me sometimes, but it doesn't really come across that way because I mean, I've just gotten to a point, actually throughout most of my life, I just really accepted that I can be socially awkward and that a lot of interactions can be socially awkward. I have a very easy time talking to people. Like, I could talk to just about anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere, and make connection, like real good connections, really quickly. And my trick for that is just being comfortable with awkward conversations, and embracing them. I think that when you're pretty much open to the idea that any interaction can kind of be awkward, and just you kind of accept it from as early on as possible, it's very freeing. And weirdly enough, it can really get you to have a much more meaningful, or at least interesting, interaction. And because you're kind of accepting that it can be awkward, in case it does become awkward, you can still, there's still a way to have fun with it. And sometimes having fun with that awkwardness can actually lead to things not being awkward and building a real connection. It's funny how it all sort of works. But that's one of my tips as someone who's kind of socially awkward. Just accept that it's probably going to be awkward and have fun with it. And I think when you're having fun and you're open, it's just, it's a lot easier. Like, don't take anything too seriously. Don't take yourself too seriously. Have fun and just be real. So anyway, besides my advice, here's what's in the article about how to break free from loneliness in small but significant ways that I really wanted to share with you guys. So first and foremost, they recommend talking to strangers. They say that simply talking to someone for 30 seconds can make you feel happier and boost your mood. And I mean, 30 seconds of conversation, I think most of us can handle 30 seconds of conversation with people. But of course, this means, like, this is about in-person interaction. Online does not count. Digital isn't the same. So even small talk, a little 30-second chat, can actually boost your mood and make you feel happier and make you feel more like connected in the world. Make you feel like interaction is what connects us. It's what connects us with life in general. Which anyway leads me to the next thing, which is face-to-face interaction. It boosts endorphins, feel-good chemicals. When we spend time talking face-to-face in person with the people that we love and whose company that we enjoy, we get a boost of endorphins, those feel-good chemicals. So spend time with friends, family, people that you're into, people that you enjoy. And if you can't get face-to-face with people, the next best thing is FaceTime. So FaceTime, Skype, you can use it on your phone. It's like the next best thing, because at least you're able to see a face, and you're able to see someone else's reactions. That's really important when it comes to building connections with people. And I'll be honest, I'm not like the biggest fan of FaceTime. I literally only FaceTime with like you guys when I do like little FaceTime giveaways. I hate FaceTime. I'm just like, I would rather see a person in person. I'm like, I'm not going to sit and talk on FaceTime, like make time for me or what? Cause if, I mean, really, but anyway, the next best thing after FaceTime, if you can't do face-to-face in person or FaceTime, a phone call, hearing another person's voice is always going to be better at building real connections rather than texts, emails, words on a screen. It's always better because you get to hear how someone says something, you get to hear the inflection, you get to hear how they react. You also, it's more real than words on a screen, because you could always backspace, you could always change what you're saying, you could always think about what you're saying, you have more time. Whereas when you're talking on the phone, you can't take back what you're saying necessarily. So face-to-face interaction, and if you can't do that, talk on the phone. If you're going to go the route of social media, I mean, there are ways to use social media in ways that can actually build connections. I know that I've actually developed many friendships kind of online and then taken them to real life. Like, that's happened. So there are ways to create connections using social media. Don't use social media to just post cute pictures of yourself. I mean, that's not the most effective way to build connections with people. Instead, you know, interact, like actually ask questions, talk to people, connect, comment on things. And instead, there's also what the article recommends Instead of just going online and posting pictures of yourself or like browsing, you know, articles or whatever, scrolling into oblivion, join small groups that have similar interests where people can really share personal stories, points of view, and actually engage. Can be really great for building connections online. So they use an example of a book club, but honestly, there are so many different groups that you can join where there are like-minded people that you can talk to, connect with, interact with, and create, you know, potentially meaningful relationships. You'd be really surprised at what you can cultivate online. Another one, though, is throwing a dinner party. I really find that food connects people. I mean, I've been saying this forever. It's one of the things that I love about, I love food, but it's also really great to have a meal with someone. I think it's wonderful, but it has to be done right. I remember years ago going to a Tony Robbins seminar and he said that food isn't entertainment and food isn't like the way of building connection with people. And I'm telling you, like, if there's one thing that I disagree with Tony Robbins on, it's that. Like, I love the man. I admire him. I agree about so many things that he says and recommends. But when it comes to food, I'm like, no, sir, no. Like, I don't know what restaurants your rich ass is eating at, but you can't tell me that you don't have like the option of really great food that I've eaten in my life to be able to turn around and tell me that food is not entertainment. I love food. I love food. But yeah, I love food. I find it to be one of the great pleasures of life, but I also really love it how it's able to connect people. But it's important to do it without being on your phone, which is like, I look around at a restaurant and usually people are on their phones. Like, I've seen people on dates barely talking to each other and just sitting there on their phones. It's like so bizarre to me. I think that there should be rules for no phones at the table. I get that sometimes you might want to take a picture of your meal. I'm guilty of this. I mean, I never really understand quite why I'm doing it. Sometimes I feel really dumb when I'm taking a picture of my food, but I actually do really like seeing what other people are eating, and it kind of helps me get an idea for what I might want to order or might want to get or might want to eat. So that's why I do it. But yeah, you want to be quick about it. I think anything more than like a minute, minute and a half is rude and awkward. Keep it quick. Like, take the picture. I would recommend not posting something right away, because then you're just going to spend another God knows how long sitting there thinking about a caption, picking out a filter, etc. Like, nobody needs that. It's best to just take the picture and then you can post later on after you're done with your meal, or you could wait until the next day or whenever. I personally almost never post anything while I'm actually at a place. It would take up too much time from me actually being out with whoever I'm actually out with. So no phones at the table. It's rude. And also not just at the table, just when you're in the presence of people, be in the presence of people, be present, show up, be there, not just physically, but also mentally, emotionally, and lead by example. Because what happens is a lot of the time is if one person is on their phone, then another person's going to take that as a cue to be on their phone, and so on and so forth. And before you know it, you guys are sitting in a circle, not even looking at each other, staring at your phones. I mean, there's just no point to that. What's the point of even getting together? So if you're going to be in the presence of people, be present, make a rule, lead by example. If you spend an hour without looking at your phone, I mean, nobody's going to die. So yeah, if you feel lonely also, this is something that I found very interesting. They say that if you feel lonely, talk about it. Because they say that talking about feeling lonely can actually help you feel less lonely. That's an interesting concept. And then the other thing that they recommend is physical touch. Physical touch with another person. It's very important. And I understand that it's not always an option, but look, whenever you can, give a hug, a pat on the back, hold someone's hands, give someone a squeeze or whatever. It does stuff. It's good for us. It's good for our health. So hugs are very important. I'm a big hugger. I love hugging people. Hugging is my favorite thing ever. Well, not really, but it's one of my favorite things. Never mind. And also, I maintain what I said in the episode about loneliness that I uploaded back in the wintertime. It's get outside of yourself. A lot of the times what happens is when you're feeling lonely, you're kind of in your own headspace. You're feeling, it's almost like a self-centeredness. Like, you're so like, oh, I feel lonely, there's nobody around, da 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 da. And you just get so caught up in almost like a pity party. You're almost like feeling bad for yourself. Instead, it's much more productive to take a little bit of a break from yourself, get outside of yourself, go and offer your time to someone that needs it. It really doesn't have to be some like major organization. I don't expect anyone to go out and be Mother Teresa. Most people aren't going to do it. If you plan to, that's fantastic. But realistically speaking, most of us aren't going to do that. But you don't have to be. Even if it's something small, like helping a neighbor or a friend, offering a helping hand somewhere, letting people know that you just want to help them. It helps give you a sense of purpose and remind you that you've got a place in this world. You have something to offer. You aren't alone. You know, success is, they say, like 80% showing up. So show up to life and, you know, take a little bit of a break from yourself and get out there and do something for someone else. It helps you to kind of like take a break from your own internal dialogue for a moment about like what's going on in your life, and it allows you to be what someone else might be waiting for or hoping for or grateful for when you show up. Because that way, look, we're all going to have lonely moments at some point in life, but this way, when you end up feeling lonely again in the future, you have a lonely moment in the future, at least you know that you have the option of showing up and being useful to other people somehow. It really helps to give you perspective. When you're going through things where you feel like you're helpless, you don't have anything to offer, you're feeling really down about yourself, if you put yourself out there and actually help other people, you really realize how ridiculous you're being by thinking that about yourself and your life. Because, you know, it's one thing to think to yourself, there's people who are wishing that they could have whatever your problems are. But it's another thing to actually see it. That doesn't mean like if you're going through, again, if it's like more of like you're going through a depression or something, or if you're feeling really sad, it doesn't mean that you don't have a right to feel what you're feeling. I think no matter what you feel, it's you have a right to feel it. Like there's a perfectly logical explanation for why you might feel any which type of way. But it's still important to put things into perspective as well. I think that's very helpful. And the best way to do it is to really like get in it and see it firsthand. Also, don't treat loneliness as a bad thing. I think that sometimes being alone can be a really great gift. It can mean that it's really an opportunity. It's almost like an invitation to be as selfish as you want to be. Like you can do exactly whatever you want to do, how you want to do it, without anyone else telling you what their opinion is, that they don't want to do it, they aren't up for it. It's just like really your opportunity to do your own thing. There is nothing wrong with having some lonely moments. Embrace them for what they are. Typically, you know, there's going to be some lulls in between exciting events. You know, not every second of life is a complete whirlwind adventure. And I don't know about you guys, but that gives me some relief. So allow yourself a moment to catch your breath and tie up loose ends that you were too busy to pay attention to before. You know, get your shit together. It's just like they say, you know, when you are, you know, you got a bow and arrow, pulling back the arrow is what actually helps it to propel forward with more force. So the same thing can apply to your life. When you feel like you're being pulled back and you're in like more of a lonely moment, it can really just be a moment for you to prepare to actually be propelled forward at some point. So use that time to your advantage. It's like an invitation to just be as selfish as you want, to do whatever it is you want to do with your time without having to consider too much of other people. Do something that maybe you've always wanted to do but kept putting off because you didn't have the time to. And it's a great way to prepare yourself to show up as a much better, more full and vibrant and radiant version of yourself to others when the time comes. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I will be linking the episode that I talked about loneliness more so related to the holidays. And there's definitely stuff in that episode that I didn't talk about in this one, that I didn't touch on in this one. So if you're interested, you could check that out. I'll put a link to it in the show notes of this episode for you. If you are enjoying this podcast so far, don't forget to rate and review it. It really helps the show to grow. 5 stars are my favorite. Hint, hint. I highly recommend that you check out last week's episode. It was a little bit of a longer one. It was like 45 minutes where I talked about mental health, depression, suicidal thoughts. Like, I really got into a lot on that episode. So in case you missed it, since this week's episode is a bit shorter, I felt like it kind of gave you a chance to go back and check out last week's in case you didn't get a chance to get around to it just yet. So yeah, that's all that I have to say. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. And as always, I look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.